Welcome to the Economic Development Commission. It's February 4th and 6:02. We're going to start with a roll call. Chairman Brown,
Present.
Commissioner Chaplunkar, Commissioner Murr,
Present.
Commissioner Elsa,
Present.
Commissioner Bringle,
Present.
And Commissioner Carolyn is not present tonight.
Public comment. Do we have any public comments tonight? Anything sent in?
Okay.
I was not at the January 7th meeting, so I can't approve those minutes.
Actually, you can.
I can, even though, because I can.
Yes, because the recordings are made available online.
Oh, yeah.
And
Oh,
the
yeah.
minutes were sent to you.
Yeah. Well, in that case.
You can vote if you feel comfortable, but there's no legal requirement not to.
All right. Do you want to do the approval
motion.
Of minutes?
Sure.
Motion to approve the minutes. Is any questions? Concerns?
No.
So, all right.
No motion.
All in favor to approve the minutes?
Aye.
Aye. Back in.
Aye.
Very good.
Madison Street Development. It looks like that's mainly our topic for today. So I think at this point, our main area where we're going to be discussing is what involves the EDC would be, you know, ideas on the retail space, how we can help there, things of that nature. I think, you know, there's still a process involved going through this. But I think for the EDC's part, we just got to be clear what, and I want to make sure I'm right with the village here, what's going to be asked of us. You know, I know we have the Development Review Board that's going to be doing a lot more of the heavy lifting at this point. Yoink. So at this point, what is being asked of the EDC and when it comes to this discussion?
Mm-hmm.
So thanks, Chairman Brown. Yes, I think that's accurate. I'll just provide some context for the group on where we are at. So 531 Partners will be presenting tonight. They've been kind of directed by the Village Board to go through the plan development process that we've talked about a number of times with the EDC. We held a few open houses to get community input and feedback, which were well attended. We've had two. We'll have a third one tomorrow night in this room at this time. Same bad channel, same bad time. And to collect even more input, we've gotten over 70 submittals of comments and questions from residents, which has been great and helpful in kind of helping us address things as we prepare for the plan development process. So at the January 26th meeting, 531 Partners introduced their concept to the Village Board. There was no action taken at that time. That's just to kind of kick off this process. The next step was to get some feedback from the EDC here tonight. So we do have a presentation from 531 Partners on the concept. And retail, I think, is definitely of the most interest to the EDC, and their 531 Partners seeking kind of input on that as well, as they want to make sure that the space is filled and something that contributes to the community. But after this step, the developer still needs to create the entire application, which includes traffic study, engineering studies, all detailed plans, and all the other things that have been of interest from residents, and school impact study and the like, that will be required for the Development Review Board to ultimately evaluate and make a recommendation to the Village Board. So tonight, 531 Partners is here to kind of present their concept and kind of seek feedback on the retail. This was still a couple month process to kind of seek those options. So really, that's the main focus. But if there's questions about other subjects with the development for the developer or staff, we're happy to address them.
Sounds good. We'll look forward to hearing from them. And then I think, you know, I think there are some questions that were raised, you know, some good, some just need clarification. So I think in the sense of clarity, I mean, it would be my thought, you know, I think when the village puts out a nice Q&A, I think it really helps answer a lot of the questions that come up. So I think that might be an idea. But again, I want to stick to what the EDC is being charged for here, because mm-hmm. there's going to be a lot of back and forth. There's going to be a lot of opinions, and I just want to make sure that we're doing what we're being asked to do. So with that, we didn't really, I guess, Victor, I haven't met Victor, so I don't. Okay, got the mask on, so I don't know if there was something you had put together or.
Yeah, so
Oh,
he's got
okay.
a full.
All right. By the way, from the commission, any questions before we start? I just want to. All right, sorry.
I apologize. I just had deviated septum surgery and sinus surgery like 4 days ago.
Oi.
So I'm kind of struggling right now
Well,
for this.
hold it against you.
My name is Viktor Yakovlevich. I'm representing 531 Partners with my partner, Chuck Westfald, proposing subject property at 7620 Madison Street, Ashland and Madison. If you guys can
Do we
do
have
an
a
overview, kind of go to, if you can just
who's
go to
controlling
Madison,
the?
Luke's got it
Oh
there.
yeah,
Go ahead and
be easier.
skip to
Skip
7620.
like all the other projects. These are just other projects that we have done and do it right there. The property obviously is located on Ashland, on corner of Ashland and Madison, and consists of 72 residential units, which is 3 bedrooms, 2 bedrooms, and 1 bedrooms. 1 bedrooms are smaller and larger, so we have a variety of square feet. Also consists of 54 indoor parking spaces, and I think 87 total parking spaces there on the north side, the rest of them. That if you go to right there. So 54 spaces are within the building. The rest of them are on the north side of the property, going east and west across the alley. Our parcel consists of the larger building and the two pieces in the back as well. Go back to the front page. Retail space is right on the corner of Madison and Ashland. If you can go to the ground floor plan, right, go back. One more right there. Retail space, I think it's 3,250 square feet on the corner. That gives you the layout of the interior parking spaces and exterior parking spaces. Full glass on Madison. Most of the glass is also on Ashland, and that would be the major, that would be the front entrance to the commercial space. Is that if you skip one higher? Back. Residential floor plan. One more. Right there. That's 18 residential units per floor, and that consists of four residential floors times 18, which is 72 units, and provides all the square footage. Some of the things we have adjusted, this is the earlier version, and if you can go to the roof plan. That's the front elevation, side elevation. Keep going, keep going.
Just that
Go
one.
back. Those are just architecture drawings. Keep going back to the colored rendering right there. That's a rooftop plan. That has also changed a little bit because we have a dog run that's going to be located in a northwest corner now. Has potential fitness center up above, grill area, bar sitting area, and all the furnishing for the rooftop deck that residents will be able to use. Go back to the front elevation. The height of the building is 72 feet to the top of the parapet wall. And 69 feet to the roof line. Ground floor, as I said earlier, it's all in glass. Most of it is in glass storefronts that can be subdivided into two separate, like 1,500 square foot spaces, or can be one retail space. Two garage entrances in the back, two elevators, two staircases. Every apartment has its own balcony, outdoor space, plus the rooftop deck. Any questions?
Any questions? I mean, it looks pretty straightforward. I'm just trying to think of questions for, I mean, we can get into discussion about the retail space, but any questions just on the development itself?
The development itself, just the whole project. This is what we're asking. Again, I
Yeah, I
just want to
mean,
make sure I'm on.
opening up for questions.
Okay, I just want to make sure I'm.
Yeah.
I guess one. Well, there's going to be a couple, but one. Why did you settle on rentals?
Yes,
Yeah,
we did.
I know why. Is
The
there?
market determines rentals. I believe we were. A simple fact is that the broker that River Forest was marketing to all the developers throughout the city, it was 6,000 developers asked to look at this project. Not one came back with a condo concept. That
Yeah,
means that the market is not acceptable at this location of this. For this project, and we are rental builders.
yeah, no,
Again, I'm just because I mean we've talked about it in here.
yeah,
It just I haven't.
no, yeah, that makes sense. And I think that what we've talked about in here is just the same, that the market just isn't there right now for condos. The numbers just don't number. Like, we're not doing anything at the bank for condos. It's all high-end rental and things of that nature.
And that's
Yeah.
fine. So from because it's rentals, are you looking to hold on to it or looking to split it?
We're long-term holders, myself and Chuck. I've been at this 28 years or so. He's been in this almost the same amount of time. His portfolio, I have over 70 buildings in the city of Chicago. We hold. It's a generational. It's a long term for us. We do not flip. We do not sell it, to investors. We manage them, we build them, we manage them, and we keep them. That's our model. That's our business plan.
And I
I
got a
like it.
follow up to that. Who is going to be marketing, or do you have a marketing arm for the retail space in the residential space with that many units? I'm assuming there might be someone internal or.
Check.
Okay. Sure. Okay. And the
Do you?
same with the retail as
Oh,
well? The retail as well, you'll internally be handling that or?
the retail, is that coming through?
Yeah.
Yes.
No. The retail is, I mean, is still in its infancy. Is how how we're
Yeah.
thinking about the retail. That the retail is economically is not a significant component
Of course.
of the pro forma on the development. We know we'd like to find something that's viable that contributes to the community. It's not something we'd like to just find something that could succeed in there,
Exactly.
and we can be quite reasonable with that space, based on how we're modeling that project.
Yeah. I mean, I know usually when I used to look at these a lifetime ago, the retail, they wouldn't even put in the pro forma because there was just a loss
We
leader
don't
that
either.
you, yeah, I mean,
There's no value.
right.
There's
No,
expense and cost, but no value.
exactly.
It could be a win, but we know we don't want to have a bar, and we know we don't want to have a full-blown cooking restaurant, with cast iron
Gas
grill.
tire.
Right. No, that's a lot of expense. You'd have to put in the back end there too.
Yeah, but we just don't want that environment in that building.
Makes
But
sense.
other than that, we're open to anything. Like a variety of retail uses, professional uses, nonprofit uses, possibly some but not all medical uses. We're open to any use. We just haven't really been focusing on it at this point.
No, that makes sense. I mean, that's kind of what we're probably going to be looking at more here going forward is the retail space. It's good to know that it's not necessarily going to be determined by the market because you're not worried about getting the highest and best use out of it, more so the best use out of it. And it's not really looking for a return, just a long-term partner that will be in there. And I'm assuming someone amicable to the village and things of that nature.
Yeah, we want something that works you know, we're going to have 72 tenants in that.
Right.
Building. We want something that, well, that's nice. We don't want a dark space there. We want something that works. We want something that the people that live there, you know, would be happy with. And we want something that the people in the broader community would be happy with too.
Yep. That makes sense.
I think the other aspect of it, obviously, I'm sure you're hearing this, is retail activates the street. We're very curious, as the EDC also is, how do we put this whole streetscape together, if you will, where there's activation in every spot that we can get. Admittedly, we know we can't fill that whole thing full of retail. Others have tried it down the street. It doesn't all work, but it's a balance there. I guess my question on the 3,000 square feet, it looks good. On the other, are there other spaces, glass spaces that are facing, that are activated, is that, I didn't study the floor plan, but other things.
Like these guys.
What's, yeah, like, yeah, for the example.
That's all parking. We needed to deprive as many parking spaces. We just introduced glass to the building.
Okay.
So visually, it looks like there's commercial
parking
there.
Parking is all the way up. Okay.
Yeah, parking is all the way up to the street to accommodate all the parking.
And back here.
But that's all parking, but that's, yeah, a residential,
yeah,
side.
Right.
So we believe that bringing this type of product and this many units to this section of Madison Street between Des Plaines and the tracks will bring more livelihood, more, you know, like more businesses can enjoy another, you know, 120 people living there on the corner and using all, supporting all businesses on River Forest side and Forest Park side.
No, it's a good point. I mean, I see why you're bringing it up. If there's space to,
you know, and eventually, I think everything to the east here is probably going to change as,
yeah,
well.
We hope. We hope.
Is your corridor open ended so you can attach?
Yes.
No, but it all is yeah, how do you think, yeah, that whole block? The comp plan did look at that.
Yep.
And, you know, and again, where we can, if you bookend retail, that'd be nice. And again, maybe as this is. This will help, certainly. And I agree with you. Residents, yeah, people on the street help, yeah, activate. So not a huge fan of parking all the way up the front, but, you know, maybe there's a scheme eventually where that could be convertible. And maybe you build if there's another phase or something. Or anyway, we've done this a lot where we sometimes position amenity space on the front. I don't know if there's other amenity. I know you got a roof deck, but I know you're trying to squeeze as much parking indoor and also utilizing the city lots in the back or village lots in the back.
But can we go back to the first floor? Because I agree with what you're saying. I mean, it would be nice.
Right,
I mean, I understand.
There you go. Yeah.
I'm looking at just whatever.
So this is our aisles.
Yeah.
All these X's are individual parking spaces. Obviously, we need our pump room, our fire room, sewer and water, tap in.
And again, I'm not an architect,
yeah,
but would it be possible, just these are just things, because I think it's a good point. I think we want to have as much retail on facing Madison as possible. And I like the idea of it's glass, and I'm not, you know, some of the things like the bike room, but the lobby. The lobby,
that's the eastern lobbies to,
yeah,
the right all the way. Then we have our Ashland main lobbies to the left.
My question is, I mean, the lobby would be a more active space facing Madison as well. Look, I'm not an architect, but I think that's
the kind of thing. You position, but you would lose parking in that, and you know.
But couldn't you just move? It,
you might be able to.
You can't because of the staircases and your egress,
but,
and travel distance.
Yeah. Again, maybe we're not going to design it. So we're just saying, is there a way? You know, maybe there's some things like that maybe,
yeah,
we put a little bit more public facing stuff. You put electric and sprinkler, you're never going to change that.
Yeah. So, no, yeah. Like, yeah. That's not convertible.
But and is there an ability, even again, I'm down the line, but is there convertibility in some of these spaces where all of a sudden Madison changes, there's more market, we're stuck if you know, again, it's just a thought. We're not going to do the floor plan.
I mean, and it's what, for the EDC, what we should be talking about, you know,
how do we generate, you know, and I know you're going to be asked about heights and all that, right? That's going to come up. I'm sure you've had some of that in your open houses. A lot of this I know is pro forma driven,
correct,
which and market driven. So, but you know, some of the things that we talked about when we were trying to look at zoning reform to help some of this is, you know, we did propose potentially, we suggested it might be good to look at going a little bit higher, but We never tested that, but there's also the ability to, maybe it's a floor and a half instead of a full five floors. You know, maybe it's four and a half. And I don't know, have you done any iterations of that to look to see where you break even, where that pro forma still works? And it works. You're probably going to be asked to reduce, right? Pardon me?
It works at six.
So you're, yeah, okay.
Yeah. It works at six. It doesn't really work at five.
Yeah.
And it really, really doesn't work at four.
Yeah.
So we have those numbers. We've shared some of those with the consultants. But it,
yeah.
At straight market, it works at six.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of numbers that go into that, obviously.
Yeah.
A lot of factors. I'm not saying you are. It's coming up. So some of the compromise that we were thinking about when we were looking at zoning was, we're not proposing five floors across the entire thing, but maybe there's ways to layer this and step it down. And again, I didn't know. It sounds like you've looked at it. Six is.
We did. And you don't have the depth. You only have 125 feet depth. You have the width. So if you start stepping down the fifth floor, you're left with nothing, with a couple of the units.
Yeah.
And again, your costs are fixed on the first ground floor. So you have to dilute those costs. Doesn't matter if you go five stories, three stories, or eight stories.
Yep.
You have a certain number.
Yep.
That there's a break point.
Well, I mean, I think that's a good question. And I think you're going to hear that, because that's something, and you're going to hear that. And if there's ways that the numbers can work, if there's things that we can do, I mean, there might need to be some give and take, but I don't know if that's what we need to be. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just trying to stay on our
feet. I know. I'm just. But it's driven by TIF, it's driven by economics, it's driven by all that stuff. So it is part of this, I think. I mean,
fair.
So again, it's just, there's probably going to have to be a compromise of some kind. And so we'll look at that. We should look at that. What are the impacts to the cost? If it's doing this, is it increasing incentive? Or, and again, does the TIF support that? I don't know. That's the kind of stuff.
Information that we provided.
You did? Okay. All right. Well.
Well, and then I think the village needs to look at it too, like where maybe the village moves back and forth, a bit. Well,
precisely.
Okay. Yeah. No, that makes sense.
Yeah. I think, Tim, you bring up some good points. We're still going back and forth with Ryan Group that's doing our TIF consulting and going back and forth with 531 Partners in their group on some of those pieces, because you're right. That definitely has come up with the zoning conversation and even what we've heard in the last few weeks. So just trying to figure out what that balance looks like.
Yeah, but just these are good things to look, you know they're coming, just to flush them out at different levels. Any other questions? Or
I take it, have had similar developments in similar neighborhoods?
Can you hear me? Okay.
So are there, have you done similar developments in neighborhoods like this?
Well, I've done over 30 developments in the West Loop.
Yep.
We just completed on Clark and Irving, 31 units. That's in our pro forma there. A large, anywhere from 1,700 to 2,400 square feet, really high end. We completed North Avenue, 6700 North Avenue in Oak Park, the First Federal, the bank that was there forever. It was shut down. We converted that. We added a floor, made that all residential with some commercial components. We have a second phase in the empty lot next to the 16700 North Avenue, another 60 units going there. We have a project that we're going through the same process here at 117 Virginia in Elmhurst, which is downtown Elmhurst.
So where I was going with the question was, what kind of businesses are you attracting in those kind of developments?
Most of our developments were all residential, 100% residential. Like 6700 North Avenue has a big commercial component, 10,000 square feet on the ground floor on the north northeast corner that was supposed to be Chicago Public Library. It was designed for Chicago. That was one of the approvals when we went through. Politically, went on for years. We went back and forth. It never happened. So it's still available now for lease. And then we have an additional, I think, 17,000 square feet on the ground floor, which is mostly lease, except we have an approval for daycare center downstairs and to go upstairs. But we have a WeWorks, we have an IT, a development office, and a custom, unbelievable barbershop with golf simulators and all kinds of stuff underneath that building.
But that was, you said, how many square, how many thousand?
About 18,000 square feet in the ground, though.
Okay.
Not on the ground level. It's in the ground, basement, basically.
Okay, thanks.
Sure.
I used to work in that building, sidebar. Yeah. Who cares? But
it's pretty big.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to make just one point, just because, like Kyler said, you're going to be going up against people asking you a bunch of questions. And one of the main things is, and I don't know if I speak for everybody here, but I'm speaking for myself, is it's a trust factor that just from the village with what happened with the, and this has nothing to do with you, it's just what you're up against. So that's what I just wanted to bring this up, is because you're saying this is recorded, people are going to listen to it. So it's a trust aspect of it. So that's why you're going to get a lot of questions of, you know, is the project going to, you know, be completed on time? Are there, you know, remediations that are going to take place that, you know, there are certain things that are going to, you're going to be up against. So that's, I'm just bringing it up. And I don't know if that's the right place to say it.
No, but yeah.
I just want to let you know that. So
yeah. And we've been asked that, and we've answered many, many of those questions. We were one of seven groups that were interviewed for this particular project.
Yeah.
We went through a bunch of meetings with trustees and everyone else and did all of the presentations. And they chose us so far to proceed with this process. So we're engaged. We're available. We'll answer any question that makes sense.
Well, and that was not to cut you out. I apologize. Yeah. And that's why I asked, like, about flipping the property or owning it. And if you're long-term owners,
we don't do that.
Yeah, we're one of the few developers. We're not commercial builders. We're one of the very few that we build for our own account. Hold it for a long time.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, and two things. One, you know, for better or worse, you are going to be sort of the guinea pig. You know that coming in here. There is a trust issue. There is a failed development down the street. And so we want to make sure that the village, they're going to look under every nook and cranny. Yeah, the next two or three, it'd probably be a lot easier in this village. But if that comes to that. But right now, this first one is certainly going to. And I'll leave it at that. The other question I had, I guess it kind of falls in our purview, is the financing. You've done this a bunch. You know, banks are giving money right now. Let's just say, whatever reason, banks turn off the, you know, maybe you're one of the guys that they save the dry powder to. Sounds like you are. But at the same time, banks turn off the funds at this point. What happens with, you know, they get tighter, they get screwed. You know, those things happen. They're like, they don't say no, but they make it a little bit harder for you to get things done. That happens. Where are we?
We've been doing this a long time.
We're putting up the equity. We're not raising third-party money. So our credit is a real important part of the decision that the banks, in the bank decision-making process, our credit is very important. Our experience is very important. Project is very important. But like, we present a really good opportunity for a lender. Deal with a lot of banks. I don't anticipate, I don't anticipate that we'll have trouble getting financing for this project.
Okay, so we'll be, you're out there. I mean, I think that'll just be one of the things we'll just need to have full clarity on as we go forward. Obviously, you're in the beginning stages right now. You probably haven't even really talked to a bank outside of this is coming down the pipe. But you work with several, I don't mean to put words in your mouth, so feel free.
We've worked for 28 years, over hundreds of millions of dollars in development.
Right.
We have a great track record. We're still here. We survived 2008, and we're still doing the same business with the same bankers after 2008. We capitalize our projects really good, a lot of equity in them. And
do you mind me asking what that looks like? Like, or is that too personal? Yeah. Okay, yeah. That's fair.
Yeah.
No, a 1,000,000%. That's why I asked if it was too personal. But I appreciate that.
We've had dozens and dozens and dozens of projects that have gotten financing all completed. So I don't anticipate an issue. I don't anticipate an issue in getting this across the finish line.
I totally appreciate that. Yeah. But that is one of the things that will, I'm sure that the whoever is looking at this, including the EDC, will be looking at strongly, because at the end of the day, it was a financing issue down in Lake and Lathrop, and not of any fault of your own, but you're just going to be under that microscope that they were, because, you know, just the way it's going to be. So I think those are
a developer.
Exactly. So you know the game, and you guys have done this a ton. I'm sure I'm a banker. I know you're one of the people. It sounds like you've done a lot. You've been through 2008. You're still around. Yeah. Sounds like you're one of the people that they're. You have several choices to work with, and I know banks are out there spending money on similar projects. So that's all. It's just going to come up, and yeah. Was there?
No, I mean, we've completed similar projects.
Yep. So
I understand the concern, but I don't know how we can make you feel warmer or fuzzier about our ability to actually
perform.
Yeah.
Other than the fact that we've been performing.
No, yeah. I don't know. This is one of the things that's going to pop up. It'll probably be discussions with the bank, you know, probably understanding there, because that was just one of the issues with Lake and Lathrop. And again, it's just going to be, unfortunately, you're the next development coming in. But
For your knowledge, that every single trustee has visited our last project, spent between an hour to 2 hours on the project, walked the whole projects that we have completed, every single one, including, Jessica. Matt was there, but quick.
Yep. No, it's you know, look, and we're asking questions, I mean, these are going to come up. So you get that they're going to come up. You know, the EDC, we set up to have the broker go out and said, 6,000 different people looked at, you know, blah, blah, blah. We saw the whole process with it internally here of all that. The reason that you're here, it was your chosen out of those is having the best proposal. And so we're confident. And we were on board with it as well. We gave our approval to the board. Sounds like it's the right project, but there's going to just need to be questions answered down the road. And you guys are here answering them, so that's fantastic. Speaking of which, any other questions or anything else you guys want to add at this point?
Oh, I'm good. Any other questions I could answer? Thank you.
Thank you. Get better with the... Okay. Done with number four.
Yeah, I would just add, if there are any questions that come up from commissioners, reach out to Jessica and we'll kind of funnel through. There's going to be several more public meetings about this as we fine-tune it and kind of work through the RDA, which might help address some of those concerns in terms of protecting the village and executing the agreement or executing the project. So there's more to come on that. Mm-hmm.
And we appreciate you guys coming here and your time. You know, it looks like a great project. So we're hopeful that everything gets done correctly.
Also, tomorrow night is the third open house. And then it goes into the development review board process. But if any of you would like to attend the open house, you're welcome to. And, you know, you can ask more questions. We'll have a couple more people from their team, architects, the developer, and then staff will be present. So if you haven't attended yet, you all are welcome to attend.
I have a question.
Yes.
What do we see? I don't know if this is for the village or for the developers, but what do we see as a timeline here? Assuming things go marginally well.
Yeah. So the development review process is a flow chart that you can find online. So it starts off with the Development Review Board introduction, which will take place on February 19th, again, right here. And then that introduction will start to get into a little bit more of the nitty-gritty details of the project. There will be a neighbor meeting that will be announced here shortly, where, again, similar to the open houses that we've had, but this is part of the official process. Staff and the village board heard the concerns from residents that there was not a lot of conversation, or people were not aware of development that had occurred in other at other times in the village. So we have added the open houses as a way to try to have earlier discussions more often. But they're not the official process. The public comments will be incorporated as if they were, but the official process is this neighbor hearing that will take place in March at some point. Again, people will be invited. The whole village will be invited to give feedback on the development and the presentation at that point. Then we once the developer has their application, which has, I think, 20 steps to it. So once they have their application with all of their studies and all of their thoughts in one package, then staff will review it. And then we will have a public hearing of the Development Review Board. So we're looking at that to be more spring, maybe later in the spring.
Okay, so in May there. Just trying to figure out when groundbreaking. I'm trying to work backwards.
Okay, here, so then depending on how those public hearings go, there might be one, two, or three. It just kind of depends on how that those meetings flow, so we can't make that decision yet. And then there would be village board approval once at the end of those public hearings is when the Development Review Board would make a recommendation on the project.
Okay.
And then it would go to the village board for the final recommendation. We're looking at that to possibly be in the summer.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that looking at probably maybe June consideration from the village board. And then after that, there's building permits and reviews, the final designs that need to be due. So
you'd be looking at a spring groundbreaking. What are you guys thinking? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Optimistically fall, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, all right. Yeah, and this is more for the review board, but just. Yeah, curious when financing will line up there and, you know, what the next steps are. So fall groundbreaking. Okay. Yeah. Good to know.
And then the construction schedule, correct me, 16 to 20 months.
Yeah.
You mentioned studies.
Mm-hmm.
Are those studies, who's performing those studies?
Various consultants.
Okay, so, that the village has retained?
No, the developer will retain.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is the village retaining its own consultants to kind of, I don't know what to call it, but have an independent view of things?
Yes. So we do have the economic development consultant that we're working with. We'll be kind of reviewing some of those studies in terms of we're talking with the developer about the traffic study that's been of the most interest. We're mm-hmm. talking about selecting a vendor that we've worked with in the past. As well, so that they know the village and their expectations and kind of created the toolbox so that it would be aligned. So it's not just a developer picking somebody that would say something that's only going to benefit them. So that's definitely on our mind to scrutinize those as appropriate.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you.
Awesome. Other business? It's sort of monopolized. I know we have some other things going on, but sort of took a back burner for this meeting. But we should get them on the agenda going forward. Mm-hmm. You know, North Avenue, talk with the chamber, things of that nature. All right. No other business. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Second.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right. Thanks, everyone.